This is Ohio State Buckeyes Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. We are cruising down towards the finish line as we approach 3 p.m. to the first annual, not first annual, sorry, the first ever college football playoff.
Well, it will be an annual thing.
At least for a few years, I hope. Yeah. They're that good. The first ever college football playoff national championship. We are going to slow things down a little bit, bring in producer Jason Gibbs for the Monday version of the Friday forecast.
All right, guys.
And we have a special guest, I'd just like to say, arguably the biggest Buckeyes fan in the world, my buddy Scott Lichtenstein will be the special guest forecaster. Scott, you will go first here in the Friday forecast.
What's up, guys? I'm fired up. Cannot wait for this game to kick off in about 6 hours.
Scott, when is the last time you were able to sleep in anticipation of this game?
The honest truth, it was Saturday night. I've been waking up every 25 minutes. I know I'm crazy. I can't get this out of my mind. I'm fired up for the game. Pumped up to see the Buckeyes do it tonight.
Well, all right, let's do it.
I was going to say, that being said, let's get to it.
Number one.
Question number one, should college football expand the playoff system and why? If so, how many teams should we be adding?
Scott, go first.
I couldn't hear it. It broke. There's no sound. I couldn't hear the question.
Should college football expand the playoff system and why? If so, how many teams should they add?
You know, I'm very comfortable with the 14 format, just seeing the physicality that the Buckeyes took playing Bama, and I think 14 is good. If they're going to go, I would go to 18. That would take the question marks off of TCU, but I'm comfortable with four games.
Yeah,
four teams.
I got to think, right now, I think the NCAA got it right in creating the playoff. And, of course, no system will be perfect, so we will work through the trials and tribulations. And right now, I'm comfortable with four. Maybe we tweak the committee, but four is good. And eight might be too much because that's a lot of additional football for some of these young
men. One round. It's one game.
Yeah. One game's a lot, especially if you lose a guy to a drug test or an injury of some sort. But right now, I'm comfortable with four. What about this? How about what about six? And you get the first and second teams to get a bye, and 3, 4, 5, 6 play to get to 1 and 2.
Well, go ahead and steal my thunder. I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say 6. All 5 major conferences, their champions get in, and there's 1 wild card.
I like
it.
And
that's it. So if you win your conference, you're in. 5 major conference champions, 1 wild card. The other way to do it would be the 5. If you did 8, would be the 5 conferences all get their champion in and 3 wild cards. But I think 1 wild card's enough. 6, and your first 2 get byes. You've earned that right to have a bye.
Deal.
Number 2.
Question number 2 today, guys. Who has the most potential to succeed in the NFL? Marcus Mariota or Cardale Jones?
To me, it's a simple question. I think Cardale Jones, and people are probably thinking why. He's only played his third college start this evening, but he's got the big time arm. Guys like Derek Anderson before him have done a great job playing in the NFL, and I think with the big arm, it gives you an advantage. I think Marcus Mariota is more of a scrambling guy. And if you watch a lot of his games, when there's pressure on him, he doesn't really progress through his reads very well. And I think Cardale Jones, that big-time arm and ability to play and make all the throws, gets an advantage.
I'm going to go – I'll say this. Marcus Mariota has the best potential, probably because he's penciled in as the first or second overall pick right now in the NFL draft in 2015 if he does, in fact, come out. So that potential will be immediate and right now. Does it transfer into success in the NFL? I agree with you, Scott. I don't think he's got it. And that being said, I believe that Cardale Jones, 6'5", 250, standing in the pocket, makes all the throws in his 3 games, has a higher upside and potential to grow to become a college football quarterback. That being said, I think JT Barrett, Ohio State Buckeye starter all year long, projects extremely well into the National Football League when his time is called as well.
Yeah, I think it's tough to say. Jones has to improve a lot, I think, going forward. So right now I'll say Mariota, but I think Jones obviously could be a big-time pro. Barrett is good there as well.
Number 3.
Question number 3 today, guys. Fact or fiction? Thrown into the forecast. All 3 Ohio State quarterbacks will return next season.
I think it's fact. I know everyone's saying that Braxton's going to transfer, but I just feel that, especially with Braxton coming off an injury and even JT coming off an injury, these guys are going to be rehabbing for most of the summer. I think Cardale will take a lot of snaps in the spring, and I think all these guys will come to compete, and I really do believe that's going to be Braxton Miller's team, assuming his arm's okay. I know Drew Brees came back from a similar injury, and I think that JT Barrett will be his backup next year.
All right. May not be happy. Buckeye Nation might not be happy, but I'm going to go fiction. And as definitive as I may have been with the fact that it might be Braxton Miller that leaves to go somewhere else to play his football, I would not be surprised if someone besides Braxton leaves to go play somewhere else, because the opportunity to play quarterback at the college level and at the school like Ohio State means so much. If it's Braxton, I believe Urban sets his program backwards. If it's JT Barrett or Cardell Jones and they're competing, I think one of them is going to be hungry for the limelight. It might be Cardell Jones. You know, since he's got it, it's come so easy to him in these three pinnacle football games. I don't think all three will be back.
I think there is no question that one will not be back. So I would say fiction that they will all three be back, because these people want to play, so they need to get an opportunity to do that. They can't do that with all three being on the Buckeyes.
Number four.
All right, I'm going to add a second question, a follow-up question to that. Who's the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes on opening day next year?
I think if healthy, you got to go with Braxton Miller. And ignoring the pros, in the college game, Braxton Miller's got the ability with one cut to take it to the house, and he's got that dynamic playmaking ability where he could, you know, be a difference maker on offense. And I think in the college system, especially in Urban Meyer's system, I think that's a difference maker.
I'm going to go with JT Barrett. I believe as the season went on, JT Barrett solidified himself as a Heisman candidate, which Braxton Miller has done before. But I think also, too, we have seen this season that JT Barrett, who is not as dynamic as Braxton Miller, can get it done as well as Braxton Miller. He may just not be that threat with his legs, but I believe that the accuracy and efficiency of JT Barrett to get Ohio State constantly in the right play and to make proper reads is just goes to show that he is ahead of his time in his development as a quarterback. So I'm going to go JT Barrett.
I'm going to say if the Buckeyes win tonight, it's going to be Jones. The guy who won the national championship, he starts. And
right.
If the Buckeyes lose tonight, it'll be Barrett.
Yeah, I can't. It's hard to disagree.
Number five.
This is an easy one, guys. It's time to call your shot for Ohio State and Oregon.
38-24, good guys. I think the key to the game tonight, I think Ohio State's going to be able to run the football. If you look at Florida State against Oregon, they were able to go up and down the field, putting up 500-plus yards. I think the key is going to be two things, being able to control the ball, not make mistakes, and when you get inside the goal line, be able to score. I know last week we had a problem with that in the first couple drives of the game. And then also, I think Oregon's had a couple of games of film to watch on Cardell. What are they going to do to him, and how well will he be able to adjust to what they're going to try to take away? But I do think Ohio State prevails, and I look for Darren Lee and Von Bell to make a big play on defense.
I like that. I've said it multiple times, and I'm sticking with it. 41-35 Buckeyes. And just to give a few points as a reason why, I think Ohio State will play superior special teams. We may actually see a chunky kind of return from Jalen Marshall in some case. We need to hit Mariota early and often, so will Oregon be able to match Ohio State's physicality? And the biggest of the three, takeaways and third down. If we can limit them on third down, their efficiency, and take the ball away even one time from Marcus Mariota and not give it to them, in Cardell Jones and Ezekiel Elliott with putting that ball on the ground, I think Ohio State can win this football game.
34-30 Buckeyes. Ezekiel
yes!
Elliott runs the football effectively. They control the clock, limit Oregon's offense. We know 30 points is the point of demarcation for the Ducks, and I think the Buckeyes, with their strength up front, offensively, defensively, on the lines, will be able to control this game and impose their will physically on the Ducks, so I think they will get that one done. Let me ask one more question. Gibbs, have you called your shot?
I have not called my
call
shot.
Your shot.
Call that shot, Gibbs.
I'm going to go 49-42 Buckeyes in a shootout.
In a shootout, I like it. So everybody unanimous today that the Buckeyes will win. Let me ask you guys this. Mark May has been getting crushed. They won't even let him do his segments on TV, getting booed by all the Buckeye fans
awesome.
Down there.
Deservedly so.
And deservedly so. Do you think this is going to be like a home game for the Buckeyes when we're watching it on TV?
It will, and if you recall, and Mike Doss talked about that 80-20, 70-30. That is the percentage that I believe will be in presence and strong there at AT&T Stadium, i.e. Jerry World. But absolutely. I mean, when we were in there were slivers of green, orange, and white in Arizona. This is the day and age is, what, 10, 12 years removed? And it's football is bigger, and I think that, as we heard from Joey and Archie, the Buckeye Nation is there, and they show up to everything, and they definitely will have their tickets and be ready to be crazy loud down there in Dallas.
I'll say this. Urban Meyer uses on the recruiting trail as well. As I follow, I'm a big recruiting guy. And we go out and play in Cal. We go any road game is a Buckeye game. This team, this fan base is crazy. It's got obviously a huge alumni. And I think this is going to be, you know, they travel for regular season games. They're going to be, I'm flowing in the Jerry's Dome tonight, and we're going to be taking it to them.
Scott, appreciate you being with us. Lots of thank yous to hand out. Everybody, thanks for listening to us on a very special edition of the Ohio State Buckeyes Daily with the national champion of the world, Matt Wilhelm, in here. We got to thank Paul Keels, the voice of the Buckeyes. Jim Nine, the first player to ever receive a Buckeye leaf on his helmet back in 1967. Two-time Heisman Trophy winner Archie Griffin, former Buckeye great Joey Galloway, former Buckeye national champion Mike Doss, and current Brown safety and former Buckeye Dante Whitner. We had a pretty good show lined up for you here today. We certainly hope you all enjoyed it. Be safe out there. Have fun tonight supporting the Buckeyes. And Matt Wilhelm, this is your show. I will let you take it away.
Absolutely. And I believe I have the Ford Explorer in scarlet with the black interior. You've got the gray F-150. And again, you have been listening to the Ohio State Buckeye Daily Show, driven by our amazing friends at Liberty Ford. Guys, go Bucks, win it all, bring it home, O-H-I-O.
There it is. Thanks. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.